This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about tangerines, I think, or
mandarins?
Maybe mandarin oranges.
I'm hopeful that by the end of today's episode, I will understand more what we're talking about.
And I think that's unlikely.
Oh, okay.
Because I did the research for this episode and I understand nothing.
Okay. Well, even though you're like Mr. Botany.
Oh, no. Mr. Botany is a regular guest that we have on the show.
Is he not coming on today?
Oh, no, he is.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, maybe he can help us.
I just like when the authorities come for Mr. Botany, I want it to be clear that Mr. Botany and I are totally different people.
Okay. Okay. This episode was suggested by me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what a suggestion it was.
What a suggestion it was. You know what? It just occurred to me, I need to wash my hands.
Okay.
And we need some sort of like a little knife to be able to kind of get into the skin of these. Because if there's one thing that I don't like, which I'd be happy to talk more about, I really don't like doing that like initial poking of your thumbnail into the top of the
Oh, I don't mind doing
mandarin.
That at all.
Oh, gross. Okay. Well, then we don't need a knife.
I'll be your knife.
Be my knife. Wow. Hot. I'm going to wash my hands.
Okay. While you're washing your hands, I'm going to start us off down memory lane. So my memory lane is I don't remember when it started exactly, but that my mom, Judy Amster, would get excited every winter about satsumas in particular. And satsumas would start appearing in our home, and they were very easy to peel. And we kids would always be like grabbing little oranges and snarfing them for snack for a couple of months until they went away for the season.
That's so interesting. I think I was not aware of like little clementines and things like that that now are so ubiquitous, starting like around the holidays. I don't think I was aware of them till like maybe I was in college.
Yeah. And then I kind of forgot about them. I mean, maybe we bought them occasionally when we moved to Seattle. But then when we moved to New York while Watzel was in grad school, which still feels very recent, but was 98, 99.
Yeah.
That's when we learned that on the East Coast, clementines were more of the winter citrus thing. Mm-hmm. And we would get boxes of clementines at Fairway and eat those. And I think of clementines as being like having thinner skin that's a little harder to peel, but otherwise being very similar.
Yeah, I like that you made that distinction there, like maybe a East Coast, West Coast thing. I think that my introduction to these like small citrus fruits was clementines and not satsumas.
Sure.
Now that I think about it, this is a thrilling line of conversation. I'm so glad.
I think I'd heard the term mandarin orange before even either of those other things.
Well, because it was like, do you remember the little like canned little segments of mandarin orange? And that was always like a big deal. Like when that showed up,
deal.
It was a huge deal when those showed up. No, you know, somebody would make their fancy ass salad with their slivered almonds and their canned mandarin orange sections.
I think this is more of a thing that would happen in Oklahoma than a thing that would happen in Portland, but probably, I'm sure it was happening in Portland also.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I think that mandarin orange was a term that like connoted cool orange.
Yeah.
Or denoted. Connoted? It, denoted.
Gosh. So I think connoted.
Okay, great. let's canoodle.
Okay.
No, but anyway, I can think of beverages and things like that that would like brag
mandarin
about.
Mandarin orange slice.
Yes, that would brag about having like mandarin yes. orange,
oh,
right?
Oh, mandarin orange slice was so good. I can't believe they discontinued it. And yet if they brought it back temporarily, which I'm sure they will, I'd drink it and be like, okay, this is orange soda.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
But the fact that I can't get it means it's the best.
That's right. So, yeah, but I do think that, you know, we are living in a produce renaissance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are living in we're riding that flaming dumpster.
Right.
That we've been riding for many episodes
and
now.
It just crashed into a huge pile of
but
fruits.
We're living in a good time for produce, I would say.
We should get, who's that fruit guy? David Karp?
Oh, that guy.
What do you think his perspective is?
Oh, yeah.
He's the real Mr. Botany.
He is the real Mr. Botany. For instance, this morning, I stopped by my local PCC, which is Puget Consumers Co-op. Do they just drop the sound?
Did they drop the sound? Well, what the hell does that mean?
No, I mean, like,
did, like, dropping
Puget
beats?
Sound Consumers Co-op?
Yes, they dropped the sound.
Okay, Puget Consumers Co-op.
Nobody ever said, like, spells out what the acronym means. It's just PCC.
It's just PCC. And, like, when I first moved to Seattle, PCC was, like, the equivalent of your, like, super crunchy, like, local health food store. And then Whole Foods came along and kind of like pummeled PCC. But PCC has made a resurgence in the last, I don't know how long. And I'm really glad because if there's one thing that I can always count on PCC for, it is having a huge array of whatever fruit is in season right now.
Yeah, there is an impressive trail of oranges on the table here. I don't know how many different varieties I'm looking at, but I'm sure Molly is going to clue me in.
Hold on. I just also want to say, and I have to make sure that everybody who lives in Seattle knows this, that the Ballard PCC has a truly exceptional fruit department compared to other PCCs.
Okay. I also contributed. I went to Safeway and I contributed one big, ugly orange.
Which is the same kind that I have in a smaller form. Wait, but was yours, what was yours?
Nugget.
A gold nugget.
Yeah, okay, that's got to be the gold nugget.
Here's my gold nugget.
There. Yeah, so we got like little big nugget and little nugget here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm big nugget. No, wait, so, big nugget. Big nugget.
We should go and discuss these things and then figure out how we're going to taste them.
Okay, so let's hear from Mr. Etymology first, because you suggested this episode as tangerines, and I quickly learned that tangerine is not a very well-defined thing.
Okay.
So Mr. Etymology says that tangerine as an adjective originally meant from Tangier, which makes sense, and people began using the adjective to refer to the fruit in the mid-1800s. And according to a history of the citrus industry written by H. Harold Hume and published in 1913, I'm sure you've read it, a citrus grower named Major Atway grew tangerines in Palatka, Florida, and said they were a tangerine variety, meaning that like the seeds or stock was imported from Morocco. Isn't it cool when someone is named Major?
Like first name Major?
Yeah.
You know, there was a cobbler in Ballard for a while who had a dog named Major.
Yeah.
That's the only person I've ever known named Major.
I mean, there was a like a pig named Major in Animal Farm, I think.
I never read Animal Farm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I read it in high school, I think.
I only did 1984. School. They're both George Orwell.
Both Orwell, yeah.
Okay.
And so botanically, there is no consensus about whether tangerines are a separate thing from mandarin oranges. So some fruit scientists put tangerines in the species Citrus tangerina, and others, and I think it's more like people are leaning more toward like they're just a type of mandarin orange, which is Citrus reticulata, or possibly a non-bitter bitter orange, but we'll get into that.
Oh, my God.
And so as
why are mandarins called mandarins?
Because they were like associated with China.
Okay.
Like at a time when like something being from China was considered like luxurious.
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
hold on. What does the adjective mandarin mean?
Oh, I don't know. Do you?
No, but let's find out.
Okay.
Because it does show up occasionally, and I'm always like, what does this mean?
Yeah, like, are we supposed to say it or not?
Oh, huh. Yeah, I'm only seeing it as a noun. looking for the adjective version.
Well, it's, you know, it's a noun that's used in an adjective. I used to know what that was called, but I don't remember.
Okay, whatever. Go on.
Okay, great. So I'm glad we settled that.
I'm really glad that we had that.
We're going to talk about tangerines and mandarins interchangeably as small oranges. The first smash hit tangerine variety in the U.S. was the Dancy or Dancy. I'm going to say Dancy tangerine, D-A-N-C-Y, which was marketed starting in 1867 as the kid glove orange or the zipper skin mandarin.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool, right?
Zipper skin mandarin.
Yeah. The Dancy was like you know, the cool orange on the block for like 100 years until it declined in popularity in the 70s because new hardier varieties came on the scene that shipped better and were less susceptible to fungus.
That's an incredible run for the Dancy tangerine.
Yeah.
I can't think of many things that get to have like a run of popularity that's 100 years long.
Yeah, like Levi's 501 jeans, maybe.
Okay.
That's the only
fair
thing.
Enough.
Oh, the only, but that's the only, no, that's that like proves your point.
Coca-Cola. Chocolate.
Chocolate. Baseball.
Baseball, yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Most tangerines in the U.S. Today come from Florida, and the top varieties grown these days are Murcott and Clementine. Mm,
we have a Murcott here.
Oh, good. And Murcott and Clementine are technically tangors. Or tangjors, which are a cross between a mandarin orange and a sweet orange. But like these are like things that are already heavily hybridized. So like, you know, like horticulturalists will just cross anything. And like at some point you're like, this is not really like a separate species. It's just like a bunch of stuff mushed together.
Hold on. I'm fascinated by this mention of the Murcott because like when I went to buy these this morning, they were specifically labeled, you know, by their type. Do you think that when Murcotts, which, as you said, are a top variety grown in Florida, when they show up in most grocery stores, are they just labeled tangerines?
I think they're often labeled Clementine. One thing I found is that like the Cuties brand, which is very popular, like will switch between Clementines and Murcotts depending on like which is more available as the season goes on. So if you buy a box of Cuties, they may be technically Clementines or Murcotts.
Oh, that's interesting to me. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, it's very mildly interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
So now if we throw in mandarin oranges, theoretically, I've been talking about tangerines up until this point, but again, there's no real distinction. Mandarins are called Mikan in Japanese and are strongly associated with New Year's and winter in general. Mm. So around New Year's, you start seeing a common decoration in Japan called Kagami Mochi, which is like mirror mochi, and it's two stacked mochi cakes with a Mikan on top. And these days, the Mikan is often plastic, but sometimes real.
Okay.
And
have you ever eaten Kagami Mochi?
You don't. It's purely decorative.
Oh, it's a decoration. Yeah. Got it. Okay, I understand now.
I mean, like, it would be, like, if you showed up someone's house and took a bite of it, you would give them the greatest story of their lives.
Okay.
So I'm going to do
you
that.
You should do it.
Yeah. One source I found, but just one, it didn't seem very plausible, said that the custom of giving mandarins as a Christmas gift in North America comes from the Japanese tradition that in the 1880s, Japanese immigrants in the U.S. began receiving Mikan shipped from Japan, and everyone liked them. So that's possible, I guess. Yes, there's no real evidence for it. So the mandarin is Citrus reticulata, and it is the parent of the big sweet orange.
Interesting. So what's the big sweet orange? Who's the other parent?
The other parent is a pomelo.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So you cross a mandarin with a pomelo, and you get a big sweet orange.
So when you say big sweet orange, do you mean like Valencia or Navel?
Yeah.
Like one of those?
Yes.
That's so interesting. You know, in the U.S., I think of, you know, when we were kids and you couldn't get produce as yummy as you can now or as varied as you can now, I feel like the big three produce items were like big sweet oranges, mm-hmm. red delicious apples, yep. and bananas.
Yeah.
In other parts of the world, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but are big sweet oranges as prevalent as they have been in the U.S., at
Ooh,
least historically?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm going to say yes in Valencia. Other than that, I don't care to comment.
What about in Naval?
In the Navy, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you're welcome, everyone who now has that song stuck in your head.
Okay, let's. All right. Oh my God! Wait a minute. You just wrote. You haven't read John McPhee's Oranges?
No. I should have reread it. Oh. Of course, I've read it, but years ago.
Okay.
When did that essay come out? Like, well, 1982 or something?
It was a long time ago, because I think that he was like, it began as an article in the New Yorker,
right.
Way before the 80s, maybe even the late 60s.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, I'm looking it up because now I gotta know.
Everybody, if you haven't read John McPhee's Oranges, it's a thin little book, nonfiction, by the brilliant nonfiction writer John McPhee. And it is about the Florida orange industry. And it is so fantastic. I feel like it blew my mind open in terms of what like nonfiction could do.
Okay. It was published in book form in 67. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Classic.
Anyway, he goes, John McPhee, as John McPhee does, goes into a lot of detail about oranges. So, I said like the big sweet orange is a Mandarin Pomelo cross. The thing is, these guys here are also Mandarin Pomelo crosses because wild mandarins are very sour.
Oh, and pomelos are not?
I guess not. I mean, pomelos I think of as not having much flavor at all, but apparently when you cross them with a sourish orange, you get a sweet orange.
Okay.
I don't know how this stuff works. Oh, wait. We never even invited Mr. Botany on.
Oh, wait a minute. Where is he? Is he here?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Hello?
Mr. Botany, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, come on in.
Has anyone ever noticed that no one ever sees me and Mr. Etymology in the room at the same time?
I love your voice, Mr. Botany.
Thank you.
Okay, what are you going to tell me?
I think Matthew already went through over all the botany stuff. Okay. So I will see myself out.
Okay. All right.
Oh, before I go, Matthew's a pretty cool guy, right?
He really is. Thanks for visiting, Mr. Botany.
Well, bye now.
We need to have like a door closing sound. Yeah. Abby, can you insert one?
I'm sure she can. Yeah. So when I was a kid, the Satsumas was synonymous with like the good Mandarin oranges.
Okay. That's cool.
Lately, newer brands of varieties it seemed like everyone was talking about Sumo for oranges for a while, like a few years ago, and they're still around.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Molly, what do you look for in a little orange?
Okay. Well, so I cannot stand seeds. I cannot handle seeds.
I know what you mean.
Like it will ruin everything for me.
I feel like the tolerability of seeds in your fleshy fruit, like a watermelon or an orange, it's related to whether you're in a place where you could spit the seeds, right?
Because I don't want the seeds at all.
Okay.
Like it ruins it. It's like it completely counters my ability to enjoy the fleshy part of the fruit.
Okay. See, I feel like if I'm somewhere where I can just like spit the seeds on the ground, then I have no problem with them. It's like trying to figure out what to do with them in a civilized setting. That's the problem.
No.
I should just avoid civilized settings. They don't really suit me.
No, they don't. I'm seed negative.
Okay. Yep.
Seed negative. I will also say that, you know, I don't mind if they're a little bit hard to peel, like the thin-skinned ones. That doesn't really bug me.
I really like it when I, like, you know, what do we sell? Zipper skin?
Zipper skin mandarin?
Yeah, I like a zipper skin man. Like, it's very satisfying to just kind of, like, be able to, like, claw all the skin off.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, not at the expense of good flavor.
How do you feel about, well, so, for instance, my child really does not love it when I put these in their lunch.
But you keep doing it
well,
anyway.
No, I only do it if I have time to peel it for them ahead of time. And I will, like, peel it and put the naked little tangerine in there.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, when June's lunchbox comes back, it is full of, like, little threads of pith that have pulled off. They will not eat the little tiny threads of pith. And I don't care. I've eaten so much orange stuff.
I am very pith negative. Like, even like after I peel the pith off, like still like I'll chew it and then like somehow there's still like a ball of pith in my mouth.
Wow.
But it depends. It seems to depend on the variety. So we'll see. We'll see which ones of these are pithier and less pithy. Let's start tasting. I'm hungry. This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, MasterClass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, You go to MasterClass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on MasterClass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to MasterClass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
So this one is a pixie tangerine.
Okay.
And I think of a pixie, you gotta crack into it. I won't do it. I hate it. So I think of pixie tangerines as, I associate them with California. I don't know why. So we didn't look up anything about these varieties, but anyway, I think I first learned of pixie tangerines from reading like Shea Penny's cookbooks or something, where Alice Waters was getting all excited about pixie tangerines and dates.
Sounds like her.
That does sound like her. Anyway, okay, what do we think of this?
I think it's pretty good. Like, it doesn't like knock me over with flavor, but it's good flavor.
It's a good blend, I would say, of sweetness and acidity. What do you think of the blend?
Yeah, I think it's a good blend. Like, the flavor is kind of fleeting, I would say.
Okay. There's a lot to chew. Mm-hmm. I would say there's actually a lot to chew here. Mm. This is a little pithy. I mean,
do you store these in the fridge?
I do store them in the
Me
fridge.
Me too.
Yeah, always. Okay, Matthew, for our next one, so we'll comment globally as we
but taste locally.
This is a stem and leaf satsuma.
Oh.
And like, you know, these are are the ones that are like marketed as being stem and leaf. So you can always tell them from the other ones because they've got a whole bunch of dried up leaves piled in with them.
Okay.
This one looks like it's waxed. It looks pretty polished and like shelf ready.
Suspiciously perfect.
But let's take a look at it. Let's see what it does. Okay, wait. So this is our pixie. Let's keep this separate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here's the, I don't know what variety this is. Oh, this is juicier.
Mm-hmm.
Has a more floral flavor.
This is better than the pixie.
I agree. Okay, that's nice.
The pixie, I could tell like it was a little too firm as I was peeling it.
Yeah,
you want there to be like a frisson of danger, like you're going to stick your thumb into it and like juice will come squirting out.
Well, I think you're going to find that to be the case here with the Murcott. Here's our Murcott.
Okay,
moving.
I feel like I've never felt more useful as a person than being like the only person who's willing to stick his thumb through the mandarin skin.
Yeah, no, I hate that. I won't do it. Okay, so this is the Murcott. Which honestly looks a tremendous amount like the thing labeled stem and leaf.
Mm.
This looks a little dry.
It's a little dry. This is not doing much for me. Not much flavor.
No, very little flavor.
Not very juicy.
Okay. All right. We're moving this one. Let's get rid of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Matthew, Let's do. So this is called a.
I assume you've got like a whole cheese plate strategy laid out here that I'm not privy to.
No, because I was kind of in a hurry at PCC, mm-hmm. and I just was like, let's get one of each, and I didn't really read what the descriptors were.
I'm imagining you like hitting up the citrus display at PCC like a bear, just like.
Okay, this one is called
Good Bear Noises.
This one's a tango. Mm. Tango Mandarin, tango tangerine. As we've established, it doesn't matter.
Right, but it might be a tangor.
It could be a tangor. Anyway, this one I'd not seen before.
Okay.
Surely it's a cross between. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you find out that the TDE is a cross between a tango and a bloop bloop and a blop blop?
I think I Googled it when you mentioned it. I just kept joking that it was the Top Dog Entertainment orange and that I forgot everything else about it. Mm. Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good. But I got to say, so far, the Rando like stem and leaf is my favorite.
Yeah, Rando Brando. But this is pretty good.
This is solid.
I forgot what this one was again.
Tango.
Tango.
How are you feeling about the amount of pith? We got a lot of pith here.
But it's like coming off pretty easily.
I don't even take it off. I just eat it.
I don't know.
Okay, Matthew, we've got three types left here. We've got gold nugget.
I can't believe you won't stick your thumb through the pith, but you'll put it in your mouth.
I'll put the pith in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have our limits.
Okay.
Matthew, we have a gold nugget.
Okay.
We have a Mineola Tangelo.
I've heard of that.
And we have TDEs.
Okay. So what is special about the TDEs? I know you mentioned them before.
This is the first year I've seen them on the market, and I have heard on the Instagram many people talking about them being like, oh, wow, have you tried this new tangerine?
And they're called the TDEs because they're crossed between tango, dango, and
yango.
Yeah.
No. You looked it up. Let's find out.
Okay. Yeah, you can look it up this time.
Oh, God.
I'm busy sticking my thumb into things.
Okay. TDE Mandarin.
Whoa.
New hybrid variety.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, between Temple, Dancy, and Encore.
Oh, Dancy. So Dancy's like making a play to come back in the form of TDE.
Okay, so this is super juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, God. I mean.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, TDE.
It's like packets of juice, but not in a way that makes it impossible to eat, mm-hmm. like, out of hand.
Okay, I gotta say, I'm on board the TDE train based on this specimen.
Oh, that's pretty cool. We got another one here.
Okay. Is this the Mineola?
Yeah, do you think we should go gold nugget and then go to the Mineola Tangelo?
Okay. Whoa, this gold nugget, hang on. This is the hardest one to peel by far, to the extent that I may fail.
You know what, Matthew? So, have you had those sumo things?
No, I didn't get any because I figured you were gonna bring them.
Well, I don't like them that much.
Okay. I trust
I don't think
you
they're that great.
Okay. It seems like the most important thing if you want to like market a new tangerine Mandarin variety is to come up with a name.
Yeah, TDE
that is like all, what marketing is. But.
Yes. I mean, sumos are cute, but I have found them to be almost like too juicy and too sweet and lacking in some acidity.
Hmm.
And I also found them to be a bit dried out sometimes.
This gold nugget is really good. Like,
yeah?
I didn't think the juice could be worth the peel because it is a pain in the ass to peel.
are struggling mightily, Matthew.
Here.
Matthew is having to use his like weightlifting face.
Which I've never used for weightlifting. So really, it's my peeling face that if I ever decide to lift weights.
Okay, wait, I'm really curious. So this is pretty tart.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I do too. Would you open the big one and we mm-hmm. can see if it's just a fluke?
Yeah. So I was at Safeway this morning. I bought a big gold nugget. This has so much pith. It's like,
oh, God.
I kind of don't want to try this, but I will. Because I love our listeners.
It looks like it has like been rolled in powdered sugar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ew. Matthew, this looks terrible. No, this looks awful. This is like looks really dry.
Well, it's not very good. The little one was good.
Hmm. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That's the only one that I would say has a weird flavor. Okay, we got one.
I'm starting to get tired of these.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so, but we only have one more that we have to eat.
Here's a Mineola.
All right.
Okay.
My thumb is kind of stinging now. Is there if you go to the to the hand, foot and throat doctor. Do they ever diagnose people with peeler's thumb? Because I got it. I just, whoa, this is juicy.
Hand, foot and throat. My next door neighbor is a podiatrist. I'll have to ask him if he sees hands and throats as well.
I mean, I'm sure he sees them, but does he diagnose them? Okay.
Oh, that's a really different thing.
My feeling about the Mediola Tangela, which I think is very good, is it tastes like Tropicana orange juice in a carton. It has like a very, very like commercial orange juice flavor, which is not a bad thing. I would probably say it's my second favorite after the TDE.
Here, try the TDE again. It tastes really
good. Except I said I like the small nugget also. Mm. Which one was the small nugget? It was this one.
Lil Nugget.
Lil Nugget.
Your hands look messed up.
My hands are glistening.
Hold on. What did you think of the gold nugget? So you just did the Mignola Tangelo followed by the TDE followed by a gold nugget.
So actually, I think the gold nugget's my favorite. I want a really like good balance of tart and sweet, mm-hmm. not just sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not just tart, but a balance of both.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you?
I think I want a balance of like sweetness and tartness, both. Oh God, I got a seed. It's ruining everything. I'm going to swallow it.
Ugh. No, don't you know what happens if you swallow it?
No, I got it out.
Your tummy turns into Florida. All right, so what have we learned? It's time for our recurring segment that we do every time. What have we learned?
Okay, well, I feel like a good Mandarin.
I feel like a good person.
A good Mandarin is better than no Mandarin.
Okay, great.
Yep. Because they're all pretty good.
You were about to say a good Mandarin is hard to find, yeah. and then you
then I changed you bailed my mind. It. Yeah.
Okay.
No. I think a good Mandarin is better than no Mandarin. I think the hard thing is finding a good Mandarin. Now, maybe we should actually talk about strategies for not bringing home dried out nasty ones.
Okay. Do you have such a strategy?
Yeah. So here's one strategy. I look for heaviness always in citrus fruits. Yeah. I want it to feel heavy for its size. And that, for me, is the number one indicator of juiciness.
That makes sense.
And then I do also like ones that have, I tend to like ones that have thinner skin.
Yeah, I think I do too. I'm kind of mad at the gold nugget because I never want to peel one again, but it was also the tastiest one. And I know, you're not going to peel it for me.
No,
so.
I'm not. Wow, you've done the weirdest peeling job on this thing.
But it's because it's hard.
Oh, look,
wait a minute.
I'm peeling the rest of it for you.
I think you're just much stronger than me.
Oh.
You didn't even have to resort to weightlifting face. How's your thumb?
Well, you know, women, when two women get together, they have sex with their hands. So maybe we have stronger hands.
Wow, that wasn't what I expected you to say at all. But okay, yeah. Just like any time two women get together.
Ask Lori.
Okay. All right. So.
Yeah, no, I'm fine on that orange. I could take it or leave it.
Okay. That was my favorite. So was your favorite the TDE?
I think the TDE or the like stem and leaf. I'm curious
about. Yeah, that was good too.
I'm curious about what the variety was.
Yeah, but I don't know how much the variety really matters after this experience. That it's probably more about was it picked at its peak and like handled well and like was it just a good orange to start with? Was it a good seed?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
My hands are so strong.
Compared to an average episode, we slurped a lot more but learned a lot less.
That's right.
Because in an average episode, we learn a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because I forgot to invite Mr. Botany in until it was too late.
That's right. Matthew, mm-hmm. do we have a beak of the week this week?
Oh, I think we have several segments.
Oh, nice.
Get it?
Nice. I get it. Are they seedless?
No. They're full
seedy?
Of...
They're seedy?
Because birds love seeds.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So remember a couple weeks ago we said we were retiring Beak of the Week?
Yeah.
Because we ran out of birds.
That's right.
Well, it's back. For,
what?
Maybe just once, but maybe more than once, because listener Susan contributed for the first time in Spilled Milk history a user...
Wow.
Sorry, I was at my other job mentally for a moment there. A listener contributed theme song for a segment, and let's hear it right now.
You've got sharp claws so you can perch up high. You've got those wings because they help you fly. You're such an interesting bird. It's Beak of the Week.
Oh, listener Susan, you shouldn't have. This makes me so happy. Like,
yeah.
You know how I said that I like to choose mandarins that feel heavy for their size? Like, this song makes me feel so much heavier for my size.
Okay.
You know, this song does for me so much more than you would think it would with its short length.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
It's a 10-second song that like brings...
like 100 seconds of joy.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
100 seconds of joy. Did you ever play 100 seconds of joy when you were like in high school?
Did you?
I mean, not on purpose. Oh.
Okay. All right. So wait, who's our beak of the week this week?
Oh, our beak of the week this week is a beak that you introduced me to, dark-eyed junco, Junco hyemalis. And this is a common small bird found on Molly's patio. Yep. It's usually found hopping around at the base of trees.
That's right.
And like, I'm realizing, like, I'm just starting to understand that, like, there are a lot of small birds of like sparrow size that I kind of lumped all into the same box.
There are so many like small songbird, sparrow looking finch. Ish
yes.
things.
And so there are 138 recognized species of New World sparrow,
That's
and the dark-eyed
lot.
Junco is one of them. And it's notable because it has like a very well-defined black head.
That's right. Except, Matthew, did you know that is specific to West Coast varieties?
Oh, I think I did know that because wife of the show, Lori, got me a bird identification pamphlet. I was looking at some various juncos.
Cool. We're looking at some various juncos.
Yeah, so I'm at the point in my bird journey where like I know enough to be not very smart.
Perfect. I feel like I'm at the point in my bird journey where I know just enough to seem like I'm smart, but I'm still not.
Yeah, no, you know a lot more than me. And yeah, so the dark-eyed junco is found throughout North America. So if you are found in North America, there's probably one near you right now.
There probably is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew, do you have a now but wow?
I do. And I think I might have mentioned De La Soul in my now but wow recently. I can't remember for sure. But if so, I'm picking them again, which is my right as a co-host of this show.
That's right.
So after being unavailable on like digital platforms for many years, all of De La Soul's early albums are now available to stream everywhere. And that includes 3 Feet High and Rising, their debut, De La Soul is Dead, and Stakes is High, which are all terrific albums. And I grew up listening to De La Soul. Like, they were one of the first bands that, like, a friend and I sort of, like, discovered on our own without, like, an older person playing them for us and just thought was the coolest thing we'd ever heard. We didn't know you could have, like, skits on an album. We didn't know you could have, like, short songs on an album. We didn't know that, that a hip-hop album could be funny. You know, it just like blew our minds and like, have been one of my favorite bands ever since. And now because they're on every platform, I get to like tell everybody to go and listen to them. Definitely start with 3 Feet High and Rising. It is an absolute stone cold classic.
Awesome. Thank you, Matthew.
My pleasure.
Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Should we talk about your newsletter?
Yeah, my newsletter is back from my parental leave hiatus.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's called I've Got a Feeling. It's on Substack. You can find it at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
And I have some, so I'm just going to say, like, fuck it. I am going to assume that my EP has got to be out by the time this episode airs. And I'm going to throw a song at the end of this episode.
Yes, throw a song.
So my EP is, my band is called Early to the Airport, and it consists of me and Matt Watson. We have a 6-song EP called Departures that should be out now wherever you listen to music, and I'm going to throw my favorite song on that EP, which is called called Royal Road at the end of this episode. Well, I'm going to ask Abby to do it.
You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can hang out with other Spilled Milk listeners at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com and talk about what your favorite Mandarin / tangerine varieties are.
Or Tangor.
Or Tangor.
Yeah. I don't even remember what the Tangor was.
It stands for Tang or not.
Oh, we're back to the like sweet and a little bit of acidity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tang.
Tang or no tang.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. No, that was fine.
Okay. Okay. Great. It was just fine.
Yeah. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew Epstein Burton.
It was. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.